Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
What's up? This is Highway Motherfucking Diaries. I'm here with my main man, Connor King.
How's it going?
What's up, dude?
Not much. You kind of just sprung it on me.
Well, you know, what do you think we're doing here? We're recording a podcast.
It seems more like we're just sitting in a car with a microphone.
Reluctant podcast guest. All right. King.
Well, no, I'm just trying to create a visual of where we are.
Okay,
right
yeah,
now.
That's how it is. That's the point of it. You know, I park places. I have my recorder. That way, a lot of recording in the car also is about, hey, I just want to talk to this person and not have anyone else interrupt. Mm. So that's why it's an insulated environment acoustically. You know,
they also have houses and rooms for that as well. Doesn't this have to be?
Yeah, but when you're doing it on the go, you know, I don't.
Yeah, no,
podcast guest can get in a car.
It's the future. You're right. This is the future of podcasting.
It's my own studio. Don't hate the play.
Mobile studio.
You know, some people like being on podcasts because they can promote themselves as a, you know, comedian, and they're not just asking 50 questions about the point of what we're doing.
Not I. See, I'm established enough. I don't really need to plug myself.
I know. You're like, what is this? It's so much beneath me.
Hey, come on. I'm doing you a favor.
All right.
No, it's great.
How long have you been doing comedy, Connor King?
Almost a year now. Mm-hmm. Almost a year. I'm still a little rookie right now.
But you've only lived in Los Angeles for
Not even 4 months. In like 2 days, it'll be 4 months.
You're from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Then you were in Florida a little bit, hitting that stand-up scene.
That's actually where I did most of my stand-up. Yeah, I only did a couple mics in Philadelphia. That's where I first did stand-up. But then it wasn't until I went to Florida where it was just, you know, that was a routine of mics every week for a few months, you know, for 5 months.
I noticed your comedy, you talk a lot about your rough upbringing and your, you know, father who had issues with certain substances that you mentioned.
Oh, I wouldn't call them issues, you know. He had passion for those substances.
So, do you feel like that, you know, having such a crazy upbringing, you know, has led you to comedy?
I mean, it very well could. That's a good observation. I mean, but I don't know. Because at the same time, like, it just kind of seems a little too simple. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, you got a shitty dad, so you start making jokes so someone will listen to you.
Pretty sure that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that's what I'm saying. Like, it's either that or it was just in us, you know? Maybe it is. I've heard so many people blame it on shitty parents said it's like well maybe it's not the parents.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just us.
It's much easier to put it there than to take responsibility for your own actions.
Like when I always used to listen to Eminem as a child, you know, cuz I grew up in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would always get mad when I was listening to it. Not cuz like of what she didn't care that he was talking about fucking and killing people. She actually just cared that he blamed it on his mom. Yeah. That's all she cared about. She was just like, oh, see, that's just a cop-out. Not my mom's words, exactly. But she was like, it's kind of just like, you know, he's not putting all the blame on her for his problems, not just on himself. I was like, wow, I was not expecting that to be the complaint about Eminem from my mom, but it kind of made sense, you know? So
She doesn't want to put words in your head that take someone, that start to question her motivation when all she's trying to do is, you know.
Yeah, I guess she made it about herself. Yeah, maybe. But I relate it to comedy where it's like, you know, with my dad where I'm like, well, maybe it is that, like, you know, it's because of how fucked up he was that made me start, like, you know, crying for attention. Or maybe it's just, you know, that's just who I am. I have a sense of insecurity from birth.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
And you want a room full of people to laugh, to be like, look what I can fucking
do. I want them all to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
And then just laugh and applaud at
and
my
go,
words.
Wow, what great up. He's so smart.
I love him.
Like the way he talks. Everyone else, shut up. I
shut
only want to hear
up.
This person for exactly. hours.
And which, that's my expectations for everything. And, you know, it's just in comedy it seems appropriate. But whenever I walk into a room, that should be the reaction. You know, that's what I should be getting.
You should feel like why do you need to prove it? Everyone else is just there at a party trying to enjoy themselves.
What are just people? They're not me.
Do you think, I sometimes think it's like just a social inadequacy to be a comedian.
Yeah.
To just say, no, I'm only good if everyone else is quiet. It's like, why can't we like maneuver
and gain our attention anyway?
Just be in the party, and if you're funny, then people know it, but they'll gravitate
towards you naturally. We don't all have to sit with a hand still.
Everyone comes here and only I get to talk.
Shut up! It's my turn!
It just seems like that, when that's your motivation, you know, it's hard not to just categorize it as some kind of disorder.
It is a disorder. Yeah, no, it's definitely a disorder. Something wrong with all of us, yeah.
I think my dad was, he would just say really mean things. Both my parents would say, like, horribly mean things to each other. And, you know, and it's like I was forged on listening to adults use the full breadth of their intellect to say something as mean as possible to the other person.
Yeah.
Like, how can I take all the world's anger in one sentence and throw it at you? And that's how I was raised. People were saying just crazy shit to each other all the time.
Yeah. It's weird how much effort we put in. Like, I feel like that's... It's weird, like, some things we won't put that much attention and care into. But when it comes to insulting someone else...
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, you know, taking out your anger on someone else... That's full attention.
Sometimes you just, you know, for some reason you just get fired up and angry, and then you just, you know, with comedy training, you have a level of skills that, you know, you can fuck up.
I've had that happen where I was just in, like, I was in the wrong mood and a person was catching me at the wrong time, and then I just, and it's not even like I'm screaming, you know, it's just like you're kind of degrading someone by insulting them so much. Like, you know, it's like it's under the guise of comedy. Like, someone's calling you and you're just like insulting them and making jokes about them, and you know, but it's not that innocent.
Do you ever feel like it's constructive though? Because, you know, people on the West Coast don't hear as much. There's not the culture of people calling each other out on stuff. People go about their business and leave each other alone and just be chill and hang out. And don't feel the need to, like...
point out the absurdness?
Or just insult people, belittle each other at all.
That's something I don't like. I kind of like the whole ball-breaking mentality of the East Coast. And I was talking to a friend
about... Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes, gives you a reality check, keeps you grounded, you know? But then again, it also... gives you a sense of inadequacy all the time. But no, I think it's good.
Yeah, because you've heard these things that people have said to you over the years, rattling in your insecurities, you know?
I know, but, I mean, then again, it is unhealthy, because just recently, like, I was complaining to my roommate. I'm like, I was trying on shorts. And I was complaining to him. I'm like, oh, my God, my knees are showing. Like, I hate wearing shorts that are knees. And he called me out. He's like, dude, that's some insecure shit, because when you were, like, 14, ghetto black people used to make fun of you for your white knees. And so now you just think, oh, whenever my knees are showing, that's me being uncool.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, because I'm just associating it to a time where just people would cut on you for everything. Anything they could.
I remember I went to Germany, and even if it was 90 degrees, no one wore shorts at all.
Wow.
Everyone had these trendy skinny jeans in 90 degree weather. And... sticky. But then I brought shorts, and I felt like a dopey fucking American with my stupid wide shorts just flapping as I walked, and everybody else is like these sleek, you know, really sophisticated looking artist type kids. And then, like, I don't really ever wear shorts
these
days.
They all look like Michael Fassbender, with all stylized and everything.
Or like Sprocket's characters.
Yeah. A reference I don't get.
It's Mike Myers doing SNL.
Oh, jeez.
I guess that was the, like, 1990.
See, yeah, here's the thing. Since I was born in 94, all the sketches that carried over to me from that time were the very well-known ones, like the Wayne's World and all that.
That's what I want to talk about, too. You're only 19 years old, but you've known from such a young age that this is what you want to do. You've started exactly when you're 18. And you do some jokes about ageism, how people are ageist against you for being so young.
Definitely. Definitely.
So you think older people are just bitter because, you know...
Uh, I don't think they're just bitter, but there's definitely
so
a lot
of so they throw hatred your way.
There's hate, there's bitterness. No.
Tell me about that. That's the stuff my love sauces marinate in, is bitterness and anger.
I know, I can tell there's definitely a sense of that towards me right now. No, it's just, what it is that, I completely understand why some people are. That's why I joke about it, because I know why they are, because... To everyone listening, we are now opening windows in our mobile podcast studio. But no, I understand why some people are angry at me, or not even just angry, that just it kind of annoys them to see someone so young to try out, because some people, they don't start doing it till they're in their 30s. I've even met people who are in their 40s and are just starting it out. So it probably is just a little upsetting to see someone who's 18, like, at the same level you are, even if it's at the bottom. It's just like, oh, fuck.
We're both on the same list.
Yeah, we're on the same list as this fucking gawky 18-year-old.
Like, I know. It also blows my mind to just those flapper shows at the Yoohoo Room. Like, I'm booked with, very funny comedians who have been doing it for 30 years, and they're, taking an unpaid gig at the Yoohoo Room.
Yeah.
And they're doing it for the love of it, just like I'm doing it now coming up. But it's like... It is, they tell you, it's also what gets me fired up, is like, how many colleges throughout America teach acting, okay? And then how many jobs are there where you can make a proper living acting? Not as many as are fucking graduating for it.
Yeah.
And that's just numbers. That's just odds. And to tell people, work harder, work harder, work harder, and it's not happening for them for whatever roll of the dice, because there's not that many, is there not enough jobs? I don't know. With podcasting, it's like, now you create your own material, your own opportunities. But I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You went on a tangent. We were getting...
I just get angry at colleges that fucking churn out
I know, I feel like you're using
and not
this
fucking
as a platform.
Factory workers. Sometimes I just get fired up. Okay, moving on.
No, it's cool, you're getting fired up.
Let's talk about you more. No, but your ageism.
The ageism.
How does it manifest? What does it happen? Is it only at the open mics, or is it other places?
No. Definitely. Just all places. Like,
You feel a victim of ageist attacks.
Well, at the same time, I also kind of, it motivates me, too. It's like, I get both sides of it. I get, like, the sides that I was just talking about, where it's people like, oh, this fucking 18-year-old, like, I can't... Like, this guy can't be taken seriously. I'm 30, you know what I mean?
I have things to say.
Yeah, actually have things to say. I have life experience, which is also stupid, because I heard this person the other day who was, like, in their early 20s, and they're like, oh, that Connor, you know what's so different with him? Because he's younger than us. He hasn't experienced as much as us. Like, there's not really...
You're so wise, then why are you saying the most condescending shit so loudly?
Well, and the thing is, like, one, you're like 22, so like really, like in those 4 years, if you just what huge shit have you gone through? And also, it's just, you don't know in like the first 10 years of someone's life, they could have gone through much more than you have in like 20, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's just it's a dismissive thing to say, like, just about, so if someone is like a certain age, then you assume that they haven't gone through that much. I mean, definitely more time gives you more opportunities to experience, like, life, but...
But also, there's some people who are 14 who are more, smart and street smart and everything than someone who's 80. Because someone who's 80, if they just live in a house and accumulate cats for 50 years, what does that fucking person know? You know what I mean? So age has nothing to do with...
They know a lot about cats. You gotta give them that. They're cat experts. But
they're obviously not, because they're breeding uncontrollably.
Well, isn't that the point of a species, to breed as much as possible?
Allergic to cats, that's where the aversion comes from.
See, look at this. You're using everything we're talking about as platforms to get out your anger.
Don't you know that
about cats and acting teachers?
I have people on the podcast, so I can talk about myself out loud without it being weird.
Yeah, without it just seeing it's all about you. You just need someone else there to make it feel about someone else. But what I was saying about both sides of that, where it's like the people, who kind of are annoyed at you, that they like, they think that they have more experience than you, and then it gives them more of a right to do comedy. But then I've experienced people who, like, they're angry at me about it, but just because, like, damn it, I wish I was starting out when I was 18.
Right. Right, so it's just a projection. But why get angry? Why not get fired up where it's like, well, if that kid starting that young, you know, I gotta get on my game. Or what experience do I have? Like, if you are older and you have more experience, then just use that and use your experience. Maybe that would work. If, mm-hmm. You know, maybe not. You could just be a fucking hilarious person. You know, like, kids say the darndest things. Kids say something. Yeah. Things that are so ironic and innocent, they're beautifully funny to adults, you know? Yeah. So, anyway.
Is that kind of what this is? You're like Bill Cosby right now. I'm Timmy.
I'm just
Trevor.
Oh, you're so naive.
Listen to this, what this kid, he's talking about comedy like he knows what he's saying.
No, I don't. I'm trying not to be condescending. That's my...
No, you don't have to worry about that.
Do you want to talk about your dad's use at all, or is that too touchy?
Well, I mean, can it really be so touchy if I, like, tell it to a group of strangers?
Well,
to make
that's
them laugh?
Then I'm trying to get you to talk about this. You haven't talked about this a lot.
And here's the thing, actually, you know, because I feel like when we first met, that was like one of my bits was about that.
Yeah.
And I haven't even used that, like, in a long time.
But it revealed information, and then, you know, I never asked you about it, but now that I have a podcast and we're just sitting here talking,
you can confront me.
I can confront you and say, okay, you know, do you want to talk about anything about that, or what was that like growing up with, you know, a dad on drugs?
Well, before we get into it, I just want to make sure you're not going to use this as a platform to start screaming about your father, are you?
All right, you busted me.
I got you. My whole understanding of it as being drugs that he was involved with, like, is all in hindsight, you know? Like, in the moment, it just all seemed like this is what normal life was like.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until, like, looking back and having people say, no, he was a drug dealer and that's bad, that I'm, like, trying to collect, all right, well, so was this affecting me negatively? Like, in the moment, it wasn't, like, you know, some kind of a after-school special where I was crying because my dad was having friends over and he was selling drugs to them. It was kind of like, oh, here are my dad's friends. This is what they do. They all hang out and they...
But your dad was nice to you.
I'm sure he's as nice as any parent is. I mean, no. He was a cokehead and a coke dealer, so he had mood swings.
Okay. Yeah.
He would freak out about nothing. But he would also get me a new PlayStation 2, so he kind of...
When he had a big score, he was flush with money all of a sudden.
He was flush with money, and then when he was down on his luck, he would scream and beat us. No, I'm kidding. The last part he did. I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Repressed.
Yeah, I'm repressing it right now.
And we're just watching you stutter in this...
They're just hearing me
memory
stutter.
Of abuse comes
hearing
up.
Me stutter. No, honestly, it was kind of good, because I kind of use it as kind of a... I hold, like, a badge of honor, where I feel like I was exposed to the badness of the world early. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I take it with pride, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where I kind of use it as, like... I've always, like, used it to kind of put myself above other people who have lived sheltered lives, you know? I mean, and obviously...
You thought you got a real experience.
Yeah, I thought I got the real world experience.
And it's not just like, when you're a shelter child, how much can you know?
Yeah.
You know, when it's just like, oh, just go to school, get your things.
Yeah, I think there's something kind of rewarding about being overexposed at a young age. You know, because it gives you more of the world to take in. Like and I guess that kind of ties into what I was saying about... Why I kind of take offense when people say, oh, you know, he's 18, or 19, he hasn't experienced as much as I have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, it's because I feel like, well, I don't know, in the first 5 years of my life, I got to experience a lot, so I don't even know how much you've experienced. So let's not assume that about either, like, each other at all, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got your doctorate in fucking street smarts. What other fucking certificate do you need to see, motherfucker?
Exactly. I know. So I guess that's also why I do take all the ageism stuff up personally, you know? Just because I feel like, I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like for an 18-year-old, by the time I was 18, I was already, like, out of the house. I'd already had my parents split when I was 5, and then I also, like, you know, had to deal with my dad being a drug dealer, getting arrested, and all that and all that stuff, like, in my first 18 years of existence, and I was already out the door, so, you know?
How old were you when you got arrested?
And
it's just interesting, it's not a perspective you hear often, like, every time you see a drug dealer in a movie, he's also a bad father to tell you, don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Or don't sell drugs, even if you can make a great living. Yeah. When that's the only opportunity you have to make a good living in your neighborhood, don't be a drug dealer.
Yeah, exactly. This will get you the most money. It's like, look, don't sell drugs.
Don't sell drugs.
But
illegal.
You need to make a lot of money in life to be successful. You got to make a lot of money, and I'll probably make you the most money. But we're telling you not to do it.
Yeah. But we will reward you with a big car, an improved lifestyle.
Yeah. If you do it, but you shouldn't.
Really don't.
Don't do it.
Because you could go to, someone could lock you in a cage.
And your life could be awesome.
Have the sunroof open. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who's listening because we're across from Scientology building.
That's where we are. Yeah.
This is where, right by your apartment. You live across the street from
Scientology
building. What I find
Lovely
fascinating
people.
Is there's a security guard who 24 hours a day is riding around this thing on a bicycle.
Multiple security guards. There's
more than one.
They trade off.
There's always one operating
that's
24 hours.
Yeah, there's not one Scientologist who's just 24/7 biking around the facility.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. Which would be awesome, and would show the dedication of Scientologists. I think that's what it should be, but it's not. It's multiple people who are trading off.
Exactly. They're all taking turns.
It is constantly surveyed.
And I just find it fascinating that one man's opinions can turn another man's life into riding around a building with a bicycle.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I think the right answer for what is there a God is I don't know. That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Because all we know as humans is that we were put here and there's some kind of life force that, you know, grows trees, grows plants, and has consciousness. Like, we don't even understand enough about the nature of consciousness to know what happens, or if there's a God or not. But to call any kind of vibration of consciousness or soup of, you know, different perspectives being on the planet at once, whatever that thing is, you know, we don't know if there's more dimensions to it. So, but to worship it in a system with a God and an institution that wants to make a monthly salary because of capitalism, I don't know if that's the right place. Don't go to a building that goes, you know what, we got it. The book, with all the information, one author.
Yeah, you can never trust a guy who says, you know all those answers you're looking for? I got them.
Like,
anyone who's that sure of themselves, it puts me on edge. He knows, but we don't. That's the answer.
Yeah.
That's what I hate the most about some religions say we have the answers, but literally Christianity is like, the answers don't matter. We don't need to know them. You know what I mean? They're kind of, they're not answering the questions. They're just shutting you up.
And I think if you're truly, truly well-read and you really read everything, like, don't you understand that the place, what was more arbitrary than where you were born? You don't choose where you're born. You just come out into a place, and if you are born into a family that catches you and we go, Catholic, and then you're still Catholic, well, you didn't come to any kind of thing. You were predisposed. It was implanted in your head that you have to believe one guy so that when you feel bad about doing bad things, that one guy absolves you. It's just a programming that you run how you feel good about yourself through. So it's, I mean, when you're raised with it, you have no chance, you know, you don't achieve anything by staying that religion.
Yeah.
I just don't get orthodoxy. It's just so not explorative.
Well, that's what you grew up with too, yeah?
Yeah, I was a Catholic growing up. Yeah, but whatever, swap that with whatever religion there is, and
it's
a birthrate.
Even like with Scientologists, like, do they really believe it all?
Of course.
No doubt. 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know, it seems like just the level of programming, the level of indoctrination, the level that you're a devotee.
Yeah, and If you invest so much, you're already paying so much.
It's just that kind of personality, too, that just goes overboard of devotee. Maybe it would have happened to them and they would have been that to skateboarding or whatever. But I think the problem with something like Scientology is it's so expensive that it can systemically take over your life, just like a cocaine does, because it's so expensive. And then when you're that pot committed, when you're hundreds of thousands of dollars into believing that one guy figured out the question that is unknowable.
Yeah. Or he's the reason the question exists.
Yeah, anyone who tells you they fucking know is trying to either put their dick in you or get a monthly salary out of you. That's what everyone wants.
Still a dick in you either way, if you ask me.
Exactly. It's just, is it in your butt or your brain?
It's in your body either way.
Are you friends with your ex-girlfriends on Facebook?
Am I yes, I actually just, I think it was today, saw a picture of one of them that was posted, and she looked trash. She looked like trash. Yeah. She's a very pretty woman.
Yeah.
And that's to save my face saying that, not hers.
Right.
But she just, God, just tiny, tiny jean shorts, little, like, you know, just a black line on her, over the tata area.
Yeah.
And just like, and she just looks so fucking drunk. It's like, you can tell that she's pretty, but at the same time, like, God. It's like,
what a train wreck. Yeah.
What it looks, yeah. I don't know. It just makes you feel like, oh, God, what's going wrong with her that she has to be doing all that right now?
And that's the thing for me. My answer is no, because I'm so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That seeing, like, an ex-girlfriend with a new guy. Yeah. It's like, I don't need that with my fucking oatmeal.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm too... Why would that help me?
Yeah.
Why would it...
No, and, it doesn't. It fucks up that part of your day.
And obviously, this is a very nice person that I spent a lot of time with, whichever ex-girlfriend it is. But I'm not friends with any of them. Yeah. Because I don't want to just go, oh, that's what... Now you're with this guy? Even though it's like, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, that's how it is.
You know a new penis is going in there.
But why do you want...
Yeah, you don't need a face to it.
That's it.
All you need to know, there is a penis, some penis out there.
Yeah.
It is not my penis, but it is someone's penis. Now, you don't need a face to the penis.
And it's too much for me. I can't, you know... I'm already... know I'm fucked up because I'm in the, you know... I have the diagnosis of being a comedian.
Yeah.
So, which is already, like, yeah. I need way too much attention, as we've established earlier.
Yeah, I can't understand a woman who finds comedians attractive. It's like...
Well,
maybe, like,
but we're guys, but they want to see someone achieving. We just look at it as what it is, because we go up there going, give me attention.
Yeah, yeah. I guess when success when success comes into play, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't experienced any of that.
Yeah, no, neither have I. Neither have I. That's why we are sitting in a car.
So, instead of a podcast studio, like a proper one.
Yes. Wait, so this isn't success right here.
This is rock bottom, actually.
What? Oh.
So, it's almost an intervention.
I gotta talk to my agent. Oh, my God.
Connor King. We gotta go drive to that open mic now, so we gotta take it. But be friends with Connor King on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
And
I love that Facebook. You know, check, I actually just
except if you're an ex-girlfriend, because he doesn't want to see
Fuck you. Why would you want to talk to me again? We had our time. I came. I busted. It's all done.
It
now.
Was all great.
It was all
I
great.
I left my mark.
I left.
I put my scent on you, woman.
I paid
indelibly.
And I paid for the abortion. Can we just put it to rest, please? It's done.
The
it's
scars
over.
Are in your belly it's, and in my emotions.
Well,
let's
not,
move
not,
on.
Not really. It didn't scar my emotions. It's more to scar her body.
Oh, okay.
Nah, more
you're cold.
Oh, yeah. It's a cold world. Cold. That's my justification.
You're like, my twin brother was sucked out next to me while I was in the womb.
Hey, man, when your dad's pushing rocks when you're 4, you don't give a fuck about shit.
Yeah, man.
This world.
Different perspective.
Different. You gotta get on my... Gotta get on my level.
Yeah, you can either be sheltered and be like, become a scientist in a cushy fucking Yale apartment... Or you Pussies. Can get your doctorate at the age of 19 in the school of fucking hard knocks.
What? The first time I did an open mic, I was 18. And first time I did a mic, I had I've been wanting to do it because I was 18 and I just found out about open mics, and it blew my mind that comedy clubs would just let you perform. So I wanted to hit one up, and it seemed so cool to me. And it seemed so cool that I was even, like, bragging to this girl I was talking to, like, acting like I was even like, yeah, I do open mics and everything like that, because I just heard about it, so I made it sound like I did it.
Yeah.
Which I never had before. And she was just like, oh, that's awesome. You want to do it? You want to, like, could I see you sometime? Like, perform? And I was like, yeah, totally, whatever. And she's like, all right, how about tonight? And I was like, sure.
So, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you had no material. Never did it before.
Never did it before. No material.
And she's like, let's just walk over there right now. Let's do it.
Hot girl, I'm trying to impress. Yes, yeah. Exactly. A stupid situation I got myself into.
So what happened?
Well, we went there and we signed up. And I was just like, all right, just sit here in the crowd. And I'm just going to go to the bathroom. So I literally, like, I'm just in the bathroom, like, 40 minutes just trying to come up with anything to say. And I'm able to think of some stuff. I mean, but nothing I thought
you're just panting. What do I got? What do I got? I said something funny about chicken yesterday.
Yeah, grasping for anything I could. Anything. And then, look at that dickhead on the bike. Sorry.
He's a bike messenger.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does he have to be dancing to his hip-hop?
He's loving life.
Oh, he is. Loving life more than I am. But anyway, so... Yeah. Whoa, look at that. They're redoing a Jack in the Box. See that?
The people can't see this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you were trying to impress a girl. You just went right on stage. You were in the bathroom. Oh, fuck yeah. What do I got?
Yeah.
Shoes?
You
walk on stage.
I walk on stage, and the first joke I had, just terrible. Well, not terrible. Just no reaction. It was complete silence. And
ouch.
It was, yeah, but it was extremely liberating. Like, you know, that happened. I was like, well, okay, we're still just people here. Like, I guess they might as well just have fun. So, like, first joke bombed, but then I came back. And I, like, just started riffing on, like, being one of the only white kids in a black school. And obviously I was in Philadelphia at the Laugh House, so I was, like, one of the only white people there performing. So, like, you know, that went well. Let's say if, like, my brain is an orange, right?
Yeah.
And I just put a high concentration of pressure from, like, lying to a girl, getting her to come see me, a girl I'm also trying to sleep with, and then just, like, having no material and everything like that, it put so much pressure on my head that a little sliver of juice slipped out, and...
Funny juice.
That funny juice. That sweet, sweet funny
juice. That yuck-yuck syrup.
The yuck-yuck syrup, yes.
Just came out of your pores.
Just oozing. And it's been secreting from my face ever since.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You were telling me also, off mic, that you delete your Facebook account like 4 times a month? What's going
probably
on there? You have such a love-hate relationship with Facebook.
It's more just a hate-hate kind of relationship,
really. Why?
But I keep coming back because it's just like, I just, you know, I need to either post something about comedy or beat off to a woman's picture. Like,
that's the only two things.
I know. But then
beat off to someone who you know.
You beat off to someone who you know. Yes.
And it's like, it's weird. It's like people create, and everyone who is on Facebook does it, is make your own magazine highlighting all the best parts of your life to make it look like
your life is a lot better than actually.
Yeah, not a lot of people. I mean, some people, like, you know, you see their downward spiral into
on Facebook
into animal hoarding or rabid alcoholism.
Yeah.
Like, not too many people who are doing that post regularly. You only post when you're on vacation and everything's fucking cheery to make it look like everything in your life is perfect.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean,
you're just making a magazine of yourself.
Yes.
And then you're reading the magazines of your friends.
Yeah, and I feel like a creep when I'm on it. I feel uncomfortable because I'm like, I'm looking at someone without them even knowing. You know what I mean? It's almost, it's like the equivalent of just staring at someone across the room and like, oh God, they look great, but they have no idea.
It's just like a really easy private investigator tool.
Yeah.
That like everyone has
now
complete
everyone has access
to.
Yeah.
Everyone posts their own version of what they want up there.
Yeah. No, I get so sick of it, and I hate it.
It's like everyone's own propaganda channel of just, like... Yeah. And mine, too. I have a whole podcast that if you put together, you know, people can make a cult or a religion out of.
Yeah.
Or discussion groups. And I mean, encourage that springing up all over the country.
We want ourselves to be that out there. We want everyone to have access to everything about us.
Is it just the endless narcissism of our generation the wanting of immortality?
Yeah.
That's really what I think that movies are. It's just like, you are engraved forever that you won the Academy Award. People go, who won the Academy Award in 2010. Maybe when that, you know, in the year 3000, it might still be relevant and people would watch those movies, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or not. It's weird.
I don't know. I just fucking hate Facebook. That's pretty much what it is for me.
Does it ruin your day?
It ruins my day. You know, you shouldn't be able to just wake up in the morning and just, like we were saying, just look at your fucking girlfriend and what she's up to now. Look at all these hot girls who have denied you in the past. And it's not healthy.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't, but it is. It's just there. We have that. We have the technology. We have the power.
And it's only going to get worse now with Google Glasses, you know? You just walk around and you wink and it takes a photograph. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and...
It's just... you can set it so that every time you wink, it automatically posts to your Facebook. People are just getting a streaming thing of your life in real time.
Yeah,
who
it's going
to
get
fucking... know that you're fucking walking down the sidewalk?
All right, well, here's the thing. Same with the power of any technology. It can be used for, like, you know, good or bad. Well, same thing with that is that... That could be really fucking annoying. Just now it's gonna... Because now... Like, even now, we just take pictures of the stupidest shit and act like it's an amazing thing. Well, that's gonna go like... That's gonna multiply by a million. But at the same time, there have been a lot of points in my life where it's just like... I wish I could just record right now and no one know.
Yeah.
And I could just record what I'm seeing. I could piece together a movie just from real footage.
Yeah.
Like, I always wanted that kind of power.
What
technology.
If your eyes were always a camera?
Yes, exactly.
And then you can edit...
You can edit the footage. Yeah. That would be amazing.
I think that's going to be a whole new genre of film in the future.
Yeah.
Everyone's always recording and then...
But then everyone is always paranoid and then...
That's why it's
nothing
like
real happens
the
anymore.
The film industry is so weird. I'm just... Everyone just watching it change so fast because as more and more, you know, now a capable... an intelligent person doesn't have to rely on the filter of a studio at all. If they have, you know, $2,000 and six friends who are willing to work for nothing for a month or whatever, anyone can pretty much make a movie. And that's just what college is. Like, you're all sequestered just working on your craft, you know what I mean? During college, you can make two movies, and you know what I mean? It's so fucking ridiculous now. The amount of emerging talent that's coming out, that it's changing everything. The internet and the availability of information is making so many people who used to be the make money from their knowledge, like, almost obsolete, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's great that it gives so much more opportunity for new talent, but at the same time, it's like, it's going to be harder to weed through it all, you know?
But it's also other things, like Harvard University is putting all their, like, doctorate, like, you can learn how to be a brain surgeon by watching every single lecture that they have, and you know what I mean? Like, the equivalent of that amount of material is they're putting up for free on their site, you know? It's just...
Really?
Yeah. Huh. A lot of universities are podcasting their lectures, so you just go listen to that, and then that's... You know,
well, there's my college education finally.
A certain amount of hours. And if you wanted to get podcasts so you don't have to read. I mean, really, it's a reading list. That's what Good Will Hunting told us.
Yeah.
Just a reading list. That's what college is. But, it's fucking... The internet's changing everything. And it's, you know, we have to... The whole economy of what money is and how we relate to each other is, and our culture is evolving to the point where now we wake up and we have to look at their ex-girlfriend with some guy new.
Yeah.
Because of fucking Facebook.
That's what you gotta fucking wake
fuck
up to.
Fuck you, Facebook. And
yeah,
the
fuck
evil
you,
visions
Facebook.
That you put in a fragile monkey brains of ours that we're still fucking evolving out of.
We can't handle all this. It's too much pressure. We're gonna stop getting brain juice. We're just gonna pop.
Yeah, it's so under a certain amount of stress, you get comedy syrup, and under more stress, your head explodes.
And then I feel that's what's gonna come to. It's like technology's gonna get to such a high level, we can't even perceive it. All everyone's heads just start combusting.
I think Facebook is the reason for Prozac.
Yeah,
and the internet's the reason for ADHD. You know, in the history of technology, people haven't been exposed to the internet and the instant gratification and the downloading of information your brain does from it. So it's like, oh, what's this? Oh, now I'm gonna click Kim Kardashian has butt implants. That makes you ADHD. That is creating that diagnosis. So every kid who's has a certain exposure to the internet, fires a fucking positive on that test.
Yeah.
And then they get Prozac.
They get
Prozac. Or Ritalin or whatever. Adderall.
Adderall.
And then the pharmaceutical companies!
I mean, I feel like we're all just undiagnosed something, you know? we all are. Like, I feel like if I actually finally sat down with a shrink or just a doctor, like, they'd be like, oh, dude, you should have come here a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
We could have been putting you on all these kind of drugs. Sorry, mister, I've been self-medicating.
I've been self-medicating with time on stage, motherfucker.
Yeah,
screaming
exactly.
My problems into jokes at people. I feel fucking nuts. I feel like that same thing, too. And I think, you know, a psychologist, especially given your background, would go, yeah, you need this counseling to, you know. But only where there is counseling do people need it so bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
No one needs counseling on the fucking Serengeti because there isn't any. You just fucking throw your stick harder next time, asshole. Stab that buffalo.
Go for some buffalo wings.
No, they're pretty good.
Yeah. I actually am fucking starving.
Right.
But we gotta get on stage.
We're on the fucking road right now, people. We're you think I got time to podcast and then separately have other time to, like,
No.
Hit mics? No, I'm doing everything at fucking once.
Motherfucker is a Renaissance man. Is that it?
No, it's not. No. It's right over here. What?
That has to be a front for a drug operation. Look at that ice cream truck.
I always wonder.
Look at that fucking ice cream truck.
An ice cream truck is 8 cylinders. It probably gets fucking 5 miles per gallon. And I got a fucking ice cream from there. He took like 15 minutes to put it together. And he goes, $2, please. I'm like, you blew fucking $20 in gas to sell me this thing. $2?
Yeah.
You must be selling black tar heroin out the back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this makes no fiscal sense. It is a pretty good front, though. You're mobile, you're moving, you can make your drop-offs.
Yeah.
Google Glasses, man.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is that, like, it would kind of ruin my idea of just being able to record people. Because, like, you know, like, let's say the story I told before where it was my first time doing an open mic, right?
Yeah.
When I told that off camera, it sounded a lot better than when we started recording, right? It's because we're trying to capture lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same thing with Google Glasses. At first, you're going to get people when they're not expecting it, and it's going to be, like, awesome because it's going to feel so real and, like, you're actually just living something when you're watching it. But then after a while, like, everyone's going to just assume that, so everyone's going to be acting their best and, like, trying to perform and to capture
it.
And it's going to be as awkward and stilted as when I just retold that story.
Oh, fuck. Is that it? Is
That's
that
it right there.
Oh, the tamales building.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
People, you
shit,
can't tell,
right,
but we are driving terribly right now. We are
I wonder,
in
with
circles.
Google Glasses, you know, it has the potential so that that thing is always recording, as we were saying, and you can cut a movie of someone's life, you know, from the one camera on their head.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true. Then, could you subscribe to someone's direct feed? Like, could fucking, you know, Keanu Reeves has in his dotage when he's, like, he blew all of his money? Is he just going to have people subscribe to his fucking Google Glasses?
Subscribe to your life. Subscribe to your life.
And then you just see his, like, fucking sad life and his arguments and just everything just goes fucking online. And
wait, what's so bad about Keanu Reeves now?
I'm just using him as a random name for, like, if he didn't think, you know, plan for his money and everything, and he just blew up all of his cash.
Did he?
No, he didn't. I'm saying hypothetically, but he's famous enough where if you put his Google Glasses thing on his feed and charge a monthly subscription, people would pay him.
They would pay.
Just because of the
name. They would pay just to watch him.
So weird.
People, what time are we living in?
We
gotta get out of here, guys.
Talk about one more thing. I was on the Candy Dinner podcast maybe 2 months back. Speaking of what the Google Glasses thing, what I made a podcast, and that is on the internet forever now. That is there. That is forever in the archives of people Googling the name Eric Hollerbach. They can have access to this thing called the Candy Dinner podcast, episode whatever. And I was a huge asshole. What I did was basically just settle old gripes, just petty bullshit, just talking gossipy nonsense, and really mean things, overly negative about other people. And, you know, I've been feeling bad about it. I feel. But there's no taking it back. I mean, I'm sure someone who sends their boyfriend a tit pic and then the whole high school has the picture, that's probably worse feeling, you know what I mean? But I still feel like, ugh, just I was just deliberately and in my full adult mind, an asshole. So, you know what I'm saying? It's hard. It's hard toeing the line between being funny and offensive and roasting people and just being a complete dick. And sometimes you fuck up. And then it's tattooed into the internet.
And next thing you know, you're sitting in a car, kind of just bitching about the time you were bitching.
It's just how much more of an endless loop of negative narcissism can you possibly sustain?
Self-destructive cycle you're going on right now.
I need Prozac. Is my ex-girlfriend posting with an ex-boyfriend or a new boyfriend on fucking Facebook?
I was about to say, is your ex-girlfriend posting with an ex-boyfriend that isn't you?
A whole line of guys I don't fucking want to know about.
God.
You know, you're not doing the traditional college thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing stand-up. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's an interesting way to educate yourself.
It's definitely an education of its own. for better or for worse. Well, what that class comprises of, it's more of just like five comics just in a room, just like going over each other's set. Like we perform for each other and then give notes. And everyone is, I think the youngest person is like early 40s there.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, other people are all in their 40s, maybe late 30s, I don't know. It's a gray line. But, yeah, and so I definitely get that right after I go up. I get this one guy who's 42, and he's like, I fucking hate you.
What?
He's like, I fucking hate you because you're fucking 18 and you're doing this. And I'm just like, yeah, but I'm not even good yet, you know.
And I'm only 27, and I just have that loathsome bitterness. It's early onset.
Yeah, definitely. Where do you think that comes from? Let's talk about you for a second.
Oh, you know, my parents and stuff. Let's talk about you. Oh, I was looking into going to college. There's a college in Toronto. There's only one school in the world that teaches comedy. Like, they teach you improv and stand-up, and they're accredited. And I was thinking, you know, what if I just go to fucking comedy college? And my parents talked me out.
Clown college?
But, yeah, they're like, you're going to get a fucking clown school. You got nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
But then you look around and people who are stand-ups, it's got nothing to do with their education.
Not at all.
It's not like it's being a stand-up or a comedian or any, it's not really something you can really train for.
No, at least not to be good. I mean, people can, they can go to college and they can meet people who will then set them up on the right path.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of being good, it's like, it doesn't really have to do anything to do with schooling, just experience.
Churning out more and more actors every day, and it's a lot of theory and Meisner and zero attention to how to get a fucking agent and how to fucking make it.
Nope.
When you're cushy in a campus learning Meisner techniques, just standing in front of classmates going, meow, I take your meow and meow. I take your meow and meow.
Wow.
This is what some fucking Meisner techniques. It's 100% bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, how the fuck... What is that supposed to do when you're in L.A. struggling by yourself, no agent, trying to find an audition, and all you can do is fucking meow to your friends all day?
That's like, some acting person who didn't make it, and then they want... You go, instead of working, I just want to meow out my fucking retirement plan. We had so many college classes where we were learning, like, avant-garde art.
Oh, God.
And, you know, like, such a money pit to go, oh, here's... Here, you have to spend $50,000 a year to learn how to be an avant-garde artist. What does the average avant-garde artist make?
Nothing.
About $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
But that's what he gets sweeping in a warehouse. He makes none of it from his avant-garde art.
Yeah, that's what, I'm kind of glad that you didn't go to that comedy college. You know what I mean? Now you're finally getting your lessons right now, you know, and you don't have to really, well, I mean, you're paying in a way, but, you know, not in the same way. You got to get your college experience, and now you get to get the comedy experience, too.
Yeah.
You get both sides. Me, I dead-end life ahead of me, you know?
No, you don't.
It's got comedy.
I feel like we're at the same place. We're both... If the goal is being a stand-up comedian, we are in the same exact position.
Yeah, exactly.
That
That's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Hey guys, this releases Tuesday, May 14th. Tuesday, May 14th at 7:30 p.m. I got a stand-up show for $2 at Flappers. $2 fucking, people. So come listen to this and then run over to go see me at Flappers. See you later, motherfuckers. Thanks to my guest, Connor King.